Welcome to Central Line, Leadership in Healthcare, the show that shares stories, experiences, and advice from notable and innovative leaders in healthcare. Leading in healthcare is incredibly challenging. So if you are looking to learn firsthand from nurses, physicians, administrators, and other healthcare professionals in leadership and management roles, this is the podcast for you. Hosted by Leah Wutchik, leadership development expert, executive coach, healthcare professional, and president and co-founder of Tall Trees Leadership. We talk with today's successful healthcare leaders on how they get to where they are, lessons learned along the way, and what it takes to thrive as a successful leader in healthcare. Let's get started with your host, Leah Wutchik.
Dr. Sid Viner is the Vice President and Medical Director for Alberta Health Services. He has executive-level responsibilities for clinical operations in AHS across the province. Dr. Viner is a patient-focused leader with a passion for quality improvement, patient safety, and health system transformation. He has over 30 years of clinical practice and medical leadership experience. He has held a variety of medical leadership roles, including the Zone Medical Director for Calgary Zone, Director of Intensive Care at the Calgary General and Peter Lougheed Hospital, the Executive Medical Director at the Peter Lougheed Center, Senior Vice President of Health Outcomes of the Calgary Health Region, and Associate Zone Medical Director, Calgary Zone. Dr. Viner is a specialist in respiratory and critical care medicine and has practiced in Calgary since 1990. He is a clinical associate professor at the University of Calgary in the Department of Critical Care and Division of Respiratory Medicine. Good morning, Sid. How are you today?
I'm excellent. Thank you, Leah.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing some of your thoughts with us here at Central Line Leadership in Healthcare and taking the time out of your busy day to be here. I thought we would get started by just having you share a little bit about your extensive career in healthcare. You and I have known each other for a few years now, but I know there was a lot that came before when you and I first met. So if you don't mind just talking a little bit about everything that you've done thus far in your career.
Thanks, Leah. Happy to do that. So I'm a critical care physician who has been heavily involved, extensively involved in various medical leadership roles over the past 30 years. And like most physicians, embarked on my career really with a focus on clinical practice, just wanting to do a really good job looking after patients. But a few years into the job, came to realize that all of us docs work within a larger system. And this was a time of big change in Calgary. We went from having individual independent hospitals to regional hospital boards. So there was lots of changes occurring where I quickly came to realize that being involved in those changes, bringing my at that time, somewhat limited experience to the table, but not inconsequential experience. My thoughts, views, clinical expertise could help inform decision-making in a way that the changes would better support patient care and clinical care delivery. So I developed a passion for medical leadership just because I saw the benefits of that, not only for my own patients, but for colleagues, the hospitals I was working at. I was working at a couple different hospitals at the time and for Calgary Health Region, which was my focus at the time.
It's interesting that the transition for you, or maybe I shouldn't say transition, but the venture into medical leadership was really brought on by a couple of realizations. I mean, I'm hearing the realization about how physicians work in a bigger system, and there's a lot that goes into that system, and obviously, as well as anyone, how complex that is. And you also saw all of these changes that were happening and wanting to contribute in a way that was perhaps different from what you had done before.
Yeah, I think for many people, particularly professionals where you're practicing within what may be a fairly narrow area in your profession, you You just want to do a good job for the people that you're serving. And I think that would hold true both within and outside of healthcare. But I think no matter where you're working, you are working with teams these days, you're working within a larger system. So there's structural pieces to it, there's human relation pieces to it, there's communication pieces. You need the tools to practice your trade. And I think it is important for people who have an interest, have an aptitude to step up and assume roles that extend beyond kind of that one-to-one interaction with the individuals they're serving or the teams they're working with. Because the whole system view, and a lot of times you don't start out with the whole system view, is, I think, important and can be quite impactful. For me, it was really initially about trying to make sure I had what I needed and the people that I was working most closely with had what they needed to provide excellent care. But I think many of us want to serve the greater good. And it was really over just a matter of a few years. I can make probably a contribution beyond the microcosm I'm working. We talk about kind of the microsystem, mesosystem, macrosystem. So over the course of my career, I really started with a focus on the microsystem and then more of a mesosystem and eventually what I would see as a macrosystem focus. And you kind of gain knowledge, skill, and experience over time that allows you to, I think, contribute at those higher levels.
I appreciate what you're saying about gaining the skills and the experience over time. And one of the things that's come up a couple of times from other guests on the podcast is the challenge going from a clinical role into a administrative or leadership role, and maybe not having those skills or not having that experience or even knowledge and confidence as well. So I'm curious for you, when you made that shift, what did you find was maybe the biggest gap that you experienced yourself?
Yeah, so I would say the biggest gap was confidence in myself and feeling that I was up to the job. I think it's often others who are more encouraging than we are in our own kind of self-reflection and self-talk. So
yeah,
I think that's pretty common in many people who assume leadership jobs, leadership roles, particularly physicians, because our backgrounds often aren't very, we often get no leadership training. And there's the leadership piece, and then there's a lot of areas of content knowledge where when I started, I wasn't sure, should I go do an MBA? Should I go do some public health courses? I think people have different aptitudes where they may be able to interpret budgets and financial information even without formal training. So these are questions I ask myself. And I did actually, at the time there weren't as many offerings as there are now for up and coming physician leaders that would give them well-rounded knowledge, but I did take courses at the university in finance, communication, just exact kind of the 3-day offerings that were offered largely through the business school at the time. So negotiation, managing conflict, some areas that as a medical or non-medical leader in an organization, you're going to have some aptitude for and some knowledge around. But I think what I came to realize once I was in different roles is there's lots of people who have broad and deep expertise in finance, in project management, in legal matters, communication. So there's lots of supports around medical leaders, since that's the roles I've had. And the key thing is just having enough knowledge that you can reach out to those people and have an informed discussion where if you have an issue that needs to be addressed, you can outline it in a way that you can leverage their expertise. So the way I've kind of come to think about it is I have an accountant who does my taxes. I could do them on my own, but it'd probably take a lot of time and energy that I would better expend in other areas. So I have to know enough to know what is required by the accountant and provide it to them and then sit down with them afterwards and interpret my income tax submission sort of thing. But I don't have to know what they know and yeah, would never know what they know without doing a full degree in accounting sort of thing. So I think, yeah, when you start out, you have lots of concerns around A, are you up for it? B, do you have knowledge in the different areas, experience in the different areas? But the key thing is just dive in. Don't dive into water that's going to be too deep where you drown, but either stick your toe in the water or dive in a way that you've got the supports you need, and you'll undertake lots of learning that'll be both didactic and experiential as you progress through whatever leadership role you take on and then subsequent roles.
I definitely hear that there's a little bit of a leap of faith that comes with venturing into a different role when you are a clinician. And also, what struck me about what you said, which I think is really important, in that once you do take that leap and stick that toe in the water, it is important to lean on those people around you who are the subject matter experts, if you will, that you may need to help you along the way. And one of the things I hear a lot from newer leaders or those who are thinking about the leadership space is this desire to be everything to everyone. And we all know that that's not possible. And so it sounds like for you, it was a big realization that you don't actually have to be everything to everyone. That's why we have teams.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And I think the old style of leadership that we know is generally ineffective is the command and control. I'm the general, I command the troops, and the general is expected to know everything about everything, I think, and doesn't work very well and doesn't work that well in real life these days. So I think it really is all about the team, knowing who's on the team, getting the right people on the team with the right skill sets, backgrounds, knowledge, having a diverse team, having all the key areas covered off, and leveraging what everybody can contribute, and being very collaborative, remaining humble. As I've gotten older and hopefully wiser, I've become more humble. You realize what you don't know as much as what you do know, and always trying to help everybody develop, learn more, get experience, learn from successes and learn from failures. And I think realizing that not everything works out, but usually at the end, as long as you regroup and try again, things will work out in the longer term.
Right. Yeah. And there's a certain level of optimism in that, like looking at possibility and opportunity. And what I'm wondering, and it's related to that idea of kind of seeing what could be possible, what was maybe your most challenging leadership role or project or initiative?
Yeah, I would say if I go way back to when I started working in Calgary and I was recruited to work at the Calgary General Hospital, within a couple of years, also started working at the Foothills Hospital. So they were both large teaching hospitals, lots of beds, lots of patients, lots of staff and physicians. Within 5 years of starting to work in Calgary, we went through this process of regionalization. And as part of regionalization, the decision was made to close the Calgary General Hospital, move some of the programs to sister hospital there. It was an affiliate hospital, the Peter Lougheed Center. And then some of the programs moved to the Foothills Hospital. So for me, I kind of had to step back and really look at what my goals and aspirations were as a physician, think about whether I could achieve those goals. Now realizing the hospital I'd been recruited to work at was going to close, make a decision. Did I want to move to the Peter Lougheed Center, which at the time was a much smaller hospital than the general? We weren't going to be able to move all the programs that were operating at the general to the Lougheed. So some of those were going to move to the Foothills, and really made me kind of step back and think about, did I want to stay in Calgary? I had done some of my training in other cities that had large academic hospitals, medical centers, were doing great things. So I was born in Calgary, lived most of my life in Calgary and Alberta, and have always felt a strong connection to the city and to the province, and also had a lot of family in Calgary. So I did actually go and interview outside of Alberta at some of these places I trained at, and came to realize that the issues, challenges I would face, we would face in Calgary were different, but no, you know, no bigger than what people were facing in these other places that I trained at and was contemplating going back to work in. And I think one of the constants in healthcare and probably in many areas outside healthcare is change. And I really thought about this is really about being part of the change or choosing not to be part of it. And if you're not part of it, you may be a victim of other people's decisions. So I just made a very conscious decision to kind of jump in with both feet, assume a much larger leadership role than what I had undertaken to that point, and try and influence change in a way that if I was going to continue working at the Peter Lougheed Center, it would develop into a hospital that would have excellent tertiary care programs and offer excellence in clinical care, teaching, and research. Not be a major research powerhouse, but at least support clinical research, which I think very much contributes to better patient care. And I continued working at the Foothills Hospital, which was the larger academic teaching hospital in Calgary, both prior to regionalization and subsequent to regionalization. So I think for leadership, vision is important. I had a vision of how I wanted my career to progress, the type of hospital that or hospitals that I wanted to work in, and ended up assuming a few different leadership roles at the Peter Lougheed Center that I would like to think led to its evolution into a large, very high performing, very well respected teaching hospital that offers tertiary care programs along with serving more basic needs of the community and surrounding areas, and a place that people actually really love working at, want to work at. We have no problem recruiting and retaining physicians and staff to the site. It's got a great culture. And to me, going back to your question, that was a key decision. Did I want to stay in Calgary? Did I want to continue working at the Peter Lougheed Center? Did I want to assume a leadership role for that site or kind of walk away and do something different somewhere else? And when I look back, really happy and proud of what I and many others were able to put in place for, it's not really for the site, it's for the people that access the clinical services and programs offered out of that site.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like it was a turning point for you. And your statement about choice around either being part of the change, or if you choose not to be part of the change, realizing and accepting you may be subjected to what others choose for you. It really struck me, that statement. And what I'm curious about then with change, because I think absolutely, as you mentioned, change is that constant in healthcare, regardless of where you work or your role or whatnot. What have you had to do to really foster support for change?
Yeah, I think there's a whole body of knowledge and science around change management. There's different programs that support change management, but most of them have a few key tenets and foundational pieces. So one is understanding why change is necessary or why the individuals who are proposing change believe it's necessary, as much as possible, getting people's input on not always the what and the why. Those decisions will sometimes be made by others, and people who are going to be part of that change can't always weigh in on the what and the why. They should have an understanding. We should be able to communicate an understanding of the what and the why, whoever's driving the change. But for sure, you want to engage people in the how and make sure that the change is going to occur in a way that it isn't more disruptive than it needs to be. Most change will be disruptive to a degree, and that whoever key stakeholders are, that their needs are met as change is occurring, and that you come out in a better future state. So the how is very important, involving all key stakeholders who are going to be impacted as much as possible is important. And then communication and meaningful communication is really important. And it's pretty fundamental, you know, pretty basic stuff, but we often fall down on some of those key pieces, and then the change can be difficult, more difficult than it needs to be, or unsuccessful. Yeah. So to me, and being authentic, certainly when we regionalized in Calgary, I thought it was a really bad idea. Closing the Calgary General Hospital where I'd been working, I thought that was a bad idea, the wrong idea. But I wasn't privy to providing input on the what and the why. So my major role at the time was the how. And when I look back in retrospect, I actually think I could have done better with the how, but the what and the why, we ended up with programs of excellence that I think are better than what we would have achieved without regionalizing, without consolidating the knowledge, the expertise of the individuals working in the various programs in the way that was done.
So you mentioned that at the time you felt that closing the general was the wrong idea and you were part of the how. How did you kind of reconcile those two things for yourself?
To me, the key decision point was, am I going to stay or go?
Yeah.
And as I say, sometimes you gotta test the waters afar to be comfortable that staying and being part of the change is the best decision for yourself, your family, your career, all kind of those key parts of our lives. And then I think once for me, I decided, yeah, I want to be part of this, that the how becomes very important. What's most important to preserve, what's at risk as part of the changes that are going to occur? How do you work through this transition period where a big part of the change was really moving programs and services that were at the Calgary General Hospital up to the Lougheed, and then having some programs that were spread across several sites consolidated at the Lougheed, where they were only going to be offered from Lougheed, and then a number of large programs moving to the foothills. So they wouldn't be at the Lougheed as they had been at the old general. So how do you make sure you've got the right people at the right sites to deliver care, the supports those people need? It could be diagnostic imaging, it could be other diagnostics, it could be equipment. How do you make sure that physicians, paramedics know where to take patients so they end up at the right spot? And we were actually having to move services. Didn't all happen at once, where they didn't all move at once from the general to the Lougheed. So we had to, for example, maintain a code blue response, the ability to resuscitate patients, you know, at the general for a period of time. When most of the patients, but not all of them, had moved to the Lougheed. So all of these things are part of the how, and you just don't want any bad outcomes for patients or big misses sort of thing anywhere along the way. And we spent, again, a lot of time working through the logistics just to have it occur as smoothly as possible. And it was fairly major change, so it was fairly disruptive, but I don't think there were any major misses. And again, it's a lot of people working together and bringing their past experience, their knowledge to the fore, and making sure you got all the I's and T's dotted. I'd say in more recent times, pandemic response required the same sort of thinking, you know, the what and the why were outside of anybody's sphere of control, but the need to respond. How do you respond? What's going on? What's highest priority? What are the resources we need to bring to bear? And for pandemic, it was everything from PPE, making sure we had masks, gowns, and gloves, hand sanitizer, to more sophisticated equipment like ventilators, medications, and then the people piece was huge. We needed to protect our staff from getting sick and also make sure we supported them when they're under a huge stress, both from the workload and also concern, certainly before vaccination, that any one of us could get sick and have a bad outcome. And then how do we make sure that we're putting people in the right places? And sometimes, rather than moving patients, the best solution was to move additional staff and physicians to care facilities, for example. So we went moving transferring everybody into the hospital when we could take the care they need to them. So yeah, the how is important in many, many instances.
Yeah. And what's interesting to me about all of the examples you shared, from the how of the closing of the general to COVID and the response there, it really strikes me that there's that massive logistical piece that needs to be well thought out and planned and addressed. And then there's also the equally important people piece and preserving culture and supporting people and ensuring that as much as possible, people feel safe and comfortable, and again, as much as possible, with the change that is happening or the shift that is happening. What I'm curious about is, for you, when you are looking at this from a leadership perspective around the different pieces of the how, logistics and people, how do you ensure that that is balanced?
Yeah, I think supporting people, supporting teams is always of greatest importance, because if we don't have the people we need working in the way we need them to work, they won't be able to look after the logistical pieces. And I think whether it's closing a hospital down and moving a lot of the programs and services to a new site, or providing care during a pandemic, everyone is so important. The people that order the supplies, distribute the supplies, our environmental services staff who we need to clean patient rooms and maintain our facilities, to the most highly trained brain surgeon sort of thing. Everybody is so important. And it's either during large moves or a pandemic, you come to realize just the breadth and depth of knowledge and experience that exists across many, many different areas, clinical areas, corporate areas, clinical support areas, communications, which would fall under corporate support, within an organization or even within an individual hospital site. Most people, they know their jobs, are good at their jobs, they take pride in their jobs, but we have to support them. So the logistical pieces will get looked after as long as we have leadership that provides the direction, depending what it is, vision, setting goals, setting strategy, so on and so forth. But then that delivery piece is so important, and that's by people. And healthcare, it's largely by people, right? We have some areas where robotics will do the jobs that people once did, but healthcare is very much a people-dependent area. And yeah, I think you'll get the balance as long as you support the people in all the different areas and recognize how important every individual area is.
Yeah, well said. I mean, I so appreciate that message of importance and how important every single individual is, regardless of what they do or their role, and how hard they work. And as you said, they take pride in what they do. So in closing, what words of wisdom would you offer to the leaders out there?
Yeah, I would say for leaders, having a vision both for yourself, what are your personal, professional, aspirational goals? How do you want to be? How do you want to be seen is very important. And then having that vision for whatever group or organization you might be leading, or at least contributing to that vision. You may not be the one who establishes the vision for the organization, but you want to contribute to kind of the vision, mission, values. And again, before I was in different leadership roles, I always used to think it was kind of soft and unnecessary, you know, having vision, mission, values. It's very, very important. Very important. We all need that North Star that we're all guided by. We need values that we all uphold, live by, conduct ourselves by, and have similar expectations for others that we're working with or leading. And then pursuing those and doing it with passion and learning, being reflective, take pride and satisfaction in what you achieve. Realize that leadership often takes more time to achieve success and be able to celebrate success than it does in individual endeavors. If I look after individual patients, particularly in my area of practice, the satisfaction of helping people get better is often more immediate. It can be minutes, hours, or days, whereas when you're in leadership roles, you're often looking at months and years, but very, very important work. So, and have, try and have fun. I think can't take yourselves too seriously. And I've always most enjoyed the people I work with. Quite frankly, I've enjoyed what I'm doing and the achievements, but particularly enjoyed the people I work with. And a lot of times, especially on a tough day, that's what keeps me going. Just realizing I've got a great team and we're in it together and we're all pulling in the same direction.
Yeah, I love that.
And it's the right direction, right?
Yeah, I love that so much. Thank you, Sid, for all of your time today and for sharing your experiences and your stories and your expertise as well. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, and thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks so much for joining us today at Central Line, Leadership in Healthcare. Also, if you liked what you heard, please head on over to Apple Podcasts to leave us a review. Be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Also, if you'd like to learn more about our host, Leah Woodchick, check out talltreesleadership.com.